I am an entrepreneur, content creator, and I guess LinkedIn influencer. Not everybody should be building a personal brand. I think this is where people get very confused because LinkedIn is a social media platform. So they're not looking for you. You need to find them.
Is there truth to you've got to do 10 comments a day? You've got to like X amount of posts on top of that, or is that all?
So it goes to the main topics that go viral on LinkedIn. So when I started posting on LinkedIn, I literally was commenting about 6 to 8 hours a day. I'm not joking. But you need to start with attention.
So I really want to get under the bonnet with this. What have you found to be your winning formula for that?
When I met you, I was actually quite scared of you.
I'm so sorry.
I guess the dichotomy of like someone's personal brand and their like real life brand, it can be quite different. Like you'll see someone like, there's this guy.
Lara.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. I've got a bumper seat.
You've got a bumper seat. There we go. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to kick off with a big open question. Who are you and what problem do you solve?
My name is Lara, so that's who I am, basically. I am an entrepreneur, content creator, and I guess LinkedIn influencer. And I help people build up personal brands on LinkedIn and get clients through it.
Nice. And then the symptoms that the clients that you work with are facing, what do they usually look like?
Honestly, a lot of them feel invisible. Most people are struggling to get seen offline and online. And what the struggles are that they are creating content, no one sees them, it's not getting any engagement, they're trying their best, they're posting every single day, they're following all this typical advice about be authentic and like post 10 times a day and like, you know, just try very hard and you'll get there, and it's just not working for them. So with the people that I work with, whether it's clients, students, members of all the different products that I have, we kind of like nail down the reasoning behind why this is actually happening without trying to get them to post a selfie or a behind the scenes content that people usually post, like push people to do.
Nice. So if you're a founder that's listening to this right now, and you know that personal branding is a box that needs to be ticked,
yeah,
where's the first place that you should be starting?
So firstly, like, not everybody should be building a personal brand. I think this is where people get very confused because obviously it's a new word. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a word of the year. Personal branding, community branding, everybody's like going all in on school communities and like personal brand. But realistically, people fail because they're not even suited to be front facing. Like, a lot of people are quite happy not building a personal brand and actually helping someone else do it. So firstly, you need to identify, am I actually going to enjoy this? Because what I noticed after like studying hundreds and hundreds of creators and entrepreneurs is that the people that are the most successful aren't the most intelligent or aren't the best in the skill. They're just the ones that are enjoying the process the most. And that is so important. So you need to understand, yeah, okay, I'm willing and able to kind of like try and force myself to enjoy this first, and then I'm going to create content. And then what was the actual question?
The question was, if you were a founder and you knew it was a box that needed to be ticked,
yeah,
how would you start even thinking about it?
You need to find, like, every single founder needs to find their unfair advantage and understand what that is. So I mean, people have like the Forbes 30 under 30 titles, the sold and exited a business, the, all of these things. And for someone like me, I didn't have anything. I was like an unemployed student trying to make a name for myself. And what I realized was, okay, I didn't have all these titles and labels, but I have these stories and skill sets that I can actually push forward. So the number one thing is understanding your unfair advantage is not just the titles that you have, it's also the skill set that you have that's high value. Everybody knows sales, content, copywriting, video creation, website design, all of these things that are the things that you know, or at least like learning, can be then taught to someone else. And that is high value, a high value asset for you and how you build a personal brand.
Mm-hmm. So break that down a bit more then. So what are the questions you should be asking yourself to kind of find out what that unfair advantage is?
So first, if you don't know, like, a lot of people maybe just finished being employed and they're just trying to discover what they want because they just realized that they were tied to golden handcuffs and they're on like a six-figure salary and they just hate it so much, but they want to explore something else, but they don't know what that is. So let's say their job was primarily sales-oriented. So now they have this specific knowledge and this specific niche that they can then take away and then teach by themselves on to other people. So if someone was like at a big sales company and they know that all the tactics, all the scripts, all of these things, then you can then take all of those scripts and teach them to coaches, consultants, or like agencies to try and get them to land more clients. And that then you turn your skill that you've learned over time into a very much high value skill that can actually generate income for you individually.
There are so many people in the space now, as you say, it's the word of the year, that are like pushing it as a service. Okay, so everybody can sell it. I guess rather than saying what are people getting wrong on LinkedIn when it comes to personal branding, I would say what are some of the things that people that are pushing courses or training or a done for you service, what are they getting wrong in your opinion?
They are trying to sell too much and they're not building enough trust with their audience. So many people are going all in on like, oh my God, I've got a product. And then they launch the product and they come to me and they're like, oh my God, people are not interested in what I'm selling. I literally just had that conversation with one of our members in like Literally Academy, where she was like, oh, well, I talk about female, you know, stress and why women burn out, but I don't think people are interested in that topic. And I'm like, what? Because that to me is the most highest interest topic in my life right now, because I struggle with that every single day. And I'm like, it's not the topic, it's your content. And that is a very harsh truth, because people think that they are great. That's how humans are. We think that we're amazing at everything we do and like people should listen to us, but realistically what they're doing wrong is they're just not creating high value content and high outstanding content that actually makes a difference. So what do I mean by high value content? Your content needs to be easy to read. Like, no matter how good your content is, like realistically, like your insights, if you don't write a good hook, if you don't know how to like format it correctly, no one's gonna read it. It's how we're operating now in this creator economy. That's why it's like so big right now, because attention is the scarcest resource we have. It's not anything else, it's attention. And if you know how to gain attention and then retain it, you can then monetize it. And people are like just going all the way onto the third step, which is monetization. But you need to start with attention.
So I really want to get under the bonnet with this. So you were talking there about like frameworks and hooks and stuff like that. What have you found to be your winning formula for that?
I call it the Slay framework. So
Slay, I like
the
it.
Slay framework. I was with my friends talking about how I write my content, and I was like, well, I usually start with a story, then lead with a lesson, then do actionable pieces of advice, and then end up with a you. And they were like, Lara, that literally says Slay. And I was like, oh yeah. So then what happens is when you start with the story, instead of doing the typical, oh, how to do outbound sales on LinkedIn, everybody knows that. I can ask ChatGPT that and it will give me like exact structure, even with scripts if I ask it to. It can even personalize that at this point. It can even do it for me at this point with AI agents. But realistically, if you start with your story about how you've done something specific, then people are going to trust you. And trust is what you need to start building on with your personal brand, because people don't know you. And then if they don't know you, they can't trust you and then they can't buy from you. And if you lead with stories, people will believe you because they, one, see themselves in you. Then two, they can see that you've done it for yourself. So they know that you can help them if they're in the same situation you were at when you're narrating that story, like from 2 years ago, 6 months ago, whatever. Then you lead with a lesson. So it's obviously, you need a short hook that's around 8 words long. That's like exactly where the cutoff is with LinkedIn content. Then you do another line, like it's line, space, line. That's specifically what you need to be doing on LinkedIn. Line, space, line. And then you add the lesson, which is, I used to be broke and I couldn't sell anything. Today, I'm able to close deals on Loom. You know, that is a good transition. People want to understand why. Like, if you didn't know how to sell and now you sell through Loom without having to do all this hassle, then I want to learn why. So you're adding that curiosity through the story, because the line of storytelling is essential for people to be like, oh, how did they do it? I like to think about it like a movie trailer, almost like, oh, what's going to happen now? Obviously, like, sales is not interesting, but you know, you get the gist. And then you lead with a lesson. Okay, so, you know, I didn't know how to sell anything. I was scared. I thought I needed to do anything, but then I just hopped on my first sales call and I actually closed it because I got the balls to do it. And you're like, here's how I did it. I prepared for my interview, I prepared for the sales call. I then asked like three very valid questions that twisted a knife with the pain points, and then let the client speak, done deal. Stuff like that. You need to overly simplify the process so people feel like it's easy to apply, and then ultimately they'll follow you for like the insights. Because a lot of people, every single founder, because they know so much, they overcomplicate LinkedIn to the point where it's like, oh, I don't want to dilute myself and I don't want to make myself seem like, no, I'm not an expert. But in my opinion, expertise comes from your ability to make things as simple as possible. Mm. So then you can talk about it in different ways. And then you have more content, because people then go, oh, I already said everything that I needed to say. And then the post is like this long and like no one learned it because it's like all of these avenues and different tangents about a complete sales strategy. What they don't understand is like out of like the 6-step framework that you have for sales, you can then turn every, like that 6-step framework into individual frameworks for like each step of the customer journey. And then that ultimately gives you more chances to be able to then get the clients at different like thinking stages. Like maybe it's not the inbound leads that they need. Maybe it's like refining their outbound. Maybe it's not the positioning. Maybe it's like this other thing. And then you, by understanding that you don't need to give it all away at the same time, you are able to then, you know, have a consistent content plan, get the ideal audience that you want, and stop feeling like you're not getting attention, because you will do if you do it right.
Nice. Okay. So how do I go then from, I've got a great hook, I'm telling great stories, you've helped me out, how do I go from that to actually having paying clients?
So LinkedIn is a sales machine, but knowing the way people think, like you won't post and it will make money. Unless you have like 1,000,000 followers, like even that, sometimes it's hard. Like I've met people that have 1,000,000 followers and they can't monetize for anything. But then I meet people that have 2,000 followers and they're making $1,000,000 every single month from a year from LinkedIn. The thing that you need to be conscious of is the overall layout of your profile. So your content is where you generate the attention, and then your profile is where you lead them to taking action. So it's not either or, it's both. And people are like, oh no, I'm creating content, but their profile looks like a mess. And then their profile looks great, and they paid this like amazing designer to do the headline, the feature section and everything, but their content is not really leading people to their profile. So people will find you through content, because LinkedIn is a social media platform. So they're not looking for you. You need to find them. So then you convince them to trust you through like value-driven content, and then you lead them to your profile where your banner is optimized to like, hey, I do this. Here's like my inquire for our agency to grow your business by 20% every single year, whatever. It's very, you need to have a very clear USP in your banner. A lot of people, what they do is that they have so many different options and they have like 3 different offers, and then they put all the 3 different offers in this very short space of like banner, and then it's overwhelming. Then people don't know what to do. You're giving people decision fatigue before you meet them, which is not great, because then you're causing them to like then not feel like you don't even know what you're doing, and you don't want that. Like positioning is key, and there's so many different like moving parts, but first is the banner, then your headline. LinkedIn will use your headline as a way to introduce you to new people. That's why that was the main point of LinkedIn as like a job seeking platform. In your headline, you have like what you do, who you do it for, and how. So your headline needs to be like an asset for you to kind of like identify your ideal clients or the ideal system or the problem that you're fixing for them. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's like building businesses on LinkedIn and helping entrepreneurs do that. Simple, easy, straight to the point. Like, you know exactly what I do in less than 10 words. So people need to kind of like go deep into what is exactly that they do. Because like what I noticed is that people don't have content problems. They have positioning problems, and then they have offer problems. And the offer problems comes from not even knowing what the offer even is and how they help them. And so it is an entire like self-discovery journey of building your personal brand. It's amazing. But people need to kind of like nail down who they help, how they do it, and through what or like how. And then there's like this thing called the feature section, like at the like, you know, middle of the profile, where you're able to actually have different links to your different offers. So what the best people do is that when they get the attention from their content, then they lead them to their profile. And then in the feature section, you'll have 1 or 2 key pieces of like calls to action, where it would be like, for me, it would be like, build your personal brand in 30 days. Click here. That's it. Most people, instead of saying something like that, they will be like, go to my website, look at my portfolio, sign up here. Sign up to what? I don't even know. So there, obviously calls to action are important, but what's more important is leading with the benefit, not the thing, but what you're actually doing, or why should someone actually click on this thing? Because people won't sign up if you tell them to sign up, like for what?
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna give you the first challenge that someone might be thinking who's listening to this. So there'll be someone thinking, this is great if you've got a really sexy, cool offering or service. What if you're in adhesive glue or concrete or something that's maybe not quite as sexy, or even something that's maybe a bit more complex? Like, how would you help me?
For lead acquisition or personal branding?
For both.
Okay. So people will follow, again, personal branding is different to your business company page. And so many people and so many like founders will go on and try and just talk about their business because obviously it's your baby. And that is like, you're literally tied to the thing. But your personal brand should be about your business and also you. And so to kind of like get there, you kind of like need to create the storytelling, then become valuable. So if you're in concrete, people will be interested. Okay, are you making money from concrete? How are you doing it? Are you hiring? I may be interested in you because like whatever else, like how do I find you? So like it's different like pathways to growth and then lead acquisition. So that's why people need like a content plan where like on a Monday, they need to educate on this very specific thing for someone like that person. It would be not just specifically about concrete because I don't think that's like a big market gap for that. Like there's not a lot of like things that you can teach, but it would be about business oriented stuff that then can lead you to building a high value audience that then those people are more likely to invest or like buy things because they will have a business that has that or like glue or whatever it is, but they want to follow you. And then ultimately, when more people follow you, they will then push you onto a pool of more people that are interested in those same topics. And then ultimately have like an inbound lead flow of people that will be interested at some point in what you have to sell. And then obviously, again, because it's such a niche offer, then you need to start doing a lot of outbound because you need to find these customers yourself first to then leverage that over time. And you can do that through Sales Navigator. You can simply do it by LinkedIn search where you like find your ideal customer. Then LinkedIn can replicate that ideal customer persona by you knowing who they follow and who they're connected to within that area. So there's this really cool thing on LinkedIn where you look at Lara Costa, let's say I'm the ideal client, ideal customer persona, and you can see like who, okay, give me Lara's first connections and that also follow someone like Jack. Okay, then you know there's like a somewhat like similar interest, and then it will give you all these connections, and then you can go one by one and approaching them every single, like all of them, you can add them to a CRM if you have one, and then you can actually go and message them. That's pretty much how I would do it.
So I want to ask a yes or no question because it might put you on the spot, but let's see where we end up. Do where you're at now, do you do outbound?
No, I never have.
Never?
Never.
Okay. Because that kind of leads me on to my next point then. So I'm a big fan of like what got you here probably won't get you there. How has your strategy changed over time when approaching LinkedIn to actually get leads?
So for me, and I think this is why what makes me a little more interesting to someone else but less relatable to someone else, because I didn't build my personal brand to get leads. I was building it out of desperation to get a job. So I'm an accidental entrepreneur. I didn't start a business because I had this dream and I sold lemonade when I was 12, or like I went onto Etsy when I was 15 and I was like reselling my clothes. No, like the idea of entrepreneurship made me want to throw up. So then over time, I was just like sharing my knowledge. And with that came my first inbound lead. And then I realized, oh shit, I can actually make some money on the side while I get accepted to my dream role. Okay, cool, like side hustle queen. So then email needs started coming from my experience that I was sharing. And so, I mean, that's how it kind of evolved. And over time, as I built more leverage, then I leveraged that to never sell because I hate sales.
You hate sales, okay. Then you're talking to two sales guys. I can't believe you're here. I want to understand like the treasure chest, okay? Because you're an inspiration. I know that a lot of people will be watching this and they kind of want to follow in your footsteps. For those people that are doing it and they're dreaming of, oh, if I do that, I can get like Lara and I will get X. What are the rewards? What are the opportunities? What are the monetary values that have come through building your personal brand?
So first things first, don't like when people see my journey, they need to understand it wasn't financially driven. It was purpose driven. I needed to find something that kept me going and I needed to explore my curiosity in the business. And then ultimately I built businesses that stacked up money as a result. So I was building a brand long-term. Like there's two ways of like monetizing your audience, like short-term and long-term. The long-term play is you create as much goodwill over time that people will have no doubt about buying from you when you do launch something. Like I didn't have a public launch until a year after building my personal brand. I was selling my ghostwriting agency services in the back end with inbound leads. I never really had to go away and get more leads because one, I wasn't trying to build the agency to like a $1 million agency. I was just trying to build the agency. So one, I could have a cool agency. And then two, kind of like have financial freedom. And three, ultimately, when I thought I was going to quit it because all I wanted was a job. I wanted a stable job. So I was literally building that on the side to have it as experience to then apply to a job. But then things changed quite quickly. Then I realized the potential that I could have as an entrepreneur and then I went full force. So when people see it like, oh, Lara, it's like, oh, inbound leads. Yes, because I only needed 10 inbound leads every single month rather than 20, 30, 40, 50. I didn't have a sales team. I didn't have anything. Like I would go into the sales calls with like a pitch deck with like, here's a problem, here's a solution, buy it. And then I wouldn't be bothered if people bought or not, because honestly, I wasn't building long-term for the business. I was building a personal brand because I knew that that could benefit me regardless. As an employee, as a student, as a creator, as anyone, I know that the power of the internet, I was getting like brand deals already and stuff. So I knew, okay, that's good. I'll keep doing that. But the business came and went, it wasn't a necessity. But then the inbound needs were coming because of this amount of trust that I was showing.
Nice. Is it me?
You can go, yeah.
Well, you asked too.
I did.
Controversy, right? So we had someone on yesterday who basically said one of the big unwritten secrets to this is if you can piss off 80% of the people, you'll get 20% of the people as like diehard customers. Do you agree with that or disagree?
It depends on the brand that you're trying to build. Polarization is quite nuanced, I think. And I don't believe that everybody should be polarizing. You're quite polarizing sometimes. And I do enjoy your content, but I can see someone that, like, if it was me 3 years ago, I probably would be very scared. When I met you, I was actually quite scared of you.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
Really?
You're not the first person to say that either.
No, not today either.
Yeah, it was because you're very blunt and you're very quite straightforward, and that is a very much like British trait, and I enjoy it. But I was scared of approaching you at that event that we went on like 3 years ago. I was like, oh my god, is he gonna like take the piss out of me?
Was I lovely?
You were nice. You were pleasant.
Nice, not lovely. No, never mind.
Yeah, you're great. And obviously, when you meet someone, and there's like, I guess, a dichotomy of like someone's personal brand and their like real life brand, it can be quite different. Like you'll see someone like there's this guy. Mike Winner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can believe that.
We know, yeah.
And he is very different online and offline. And like, he's very scary. I blocked him now because I just couldn't handle him. But when I spoken to him in real life, he was just like a pleasant chap. But online, he was like a monster, like bullying every single person that came across. So polarization, yes, you will get a lot of people, but at what cost? And it depends on what you're trying to build. If you're trying to build like for a bigger scale like me, where I'm trying to honestly make things easier for people, polarization isn't necessary. I would have polarizing topics like me saying that the education system is a scam, how the healthcare system is also a scam, and all of these things, but they're not even polarizing anymore. They're just like things that we do know. So if you want to piss people off, yes, but there's a cost, and that is like a bigger audience. Like you want to attract the type of audience that I do because you're most likely to make people feel like you're going to shout at them and tell them if that's how I felt. But that is you, and that's fine.
Nice. So when someone starts working with you, then do you start off with, tell me about your story, or is it, what's the intention? Like, what are we trying to get?
With clients?
Yeah, where do you start them?
What do you want? Is it fame or fortune? Because a lot of people will come in and be like, oh, I want to go viral. And then 3 months down the line, they'll be like, oh, we're not getting any leads. There's like a very big gap in like knowledge between virality and like getting leads. So I'm like, what do you want? And it's like, okay, I really want to grow my personal brand, but why? Oh, because I want to, you know, start getting more traffic. To what? Oh, to my business, to do this. Why? Oh, to make more money and blah, blah. Okay, so the actual reason is not you want to go viral. It's actually you want to get more lead traffic, which means that your content will need to be like this instead of this. But then the problem is, and why I hated running an agency, is that clients don't know what they want. You need to tell them. And also clients will have broken funnels and systems and offers, which then I need to spot first to then be like, this offer won't actually sell on LinkedIn. So I would actually recommend you to go to a sales coach and or a positioning coach or whatever to actually fix that and then come back when that is ready. Because good content won't accelerate the fact that your business is not well, you know, structured or like that you're offer is shit. Like good content will only accelerate the fact that people will know that your offer doesn't work. And that is the reality of things that most of us will not accept. So what do you want, fame or fortune?
You were talking about virality then, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that it plays a part and it can have, it can bring good things. What is the gain from virality on social media then?
There's so much opportunity on going viral because then it can unlock people knowing you and wanting to be curious about what else you do. My first LinkedIn post went viral. And so that allowed me to benefit from the momentum wave that came from all this insecurity of like, no one's looking at me to people are looking at me. Now I have to prove myself that I have all of these, all the skill sets that I can use. So virality works if you know what you want to do in the long term, but virality won't work if you post a story about like burnout or like, you know, 10 TED Talks that will change your life, which are like proven things that will go viral on LinkedIn because that's just naturally how what people like to consume. But then if you're creating content about 10 TED Talks and then you're selling a very niche glue offer, that's not gonna benefit you whatsoever. It's gonna give you the dopamine rush that most people crave. Unfortunately, I'm addicted to chocolate, so I can say that dopamine is like something that runs my life. But then it just won't lead anywhere. But if you're looking for virality in sake for the right type of virality, which means that you go viral for educating on something that's very relevant to your business, and then it works, then that can then turn into 20 plus leads per post for you. And then so if you're doing that consistently, then you have a full pipeline without having to do sales calls, without having to, you know, prove yourself in that sale, or like if you do hop on a sales call, the sale is pretty much done by the time you actually hop on the sales calls. I work with someone in the, you know, SDR space. He's really, really cool. And he just went super viral for this AI agent LinkedIn post, right? That is heavily, you know, tied to what he does, because people will come in for the information in the virality, like, oh my God, this is cool, this is a new thing. Can you teach me to do that? Can you implement these systems to our business? Yes, great. But if he had gone viral for like 10 talks, can you send me a link to the TED Talks? Like, well, that's not gonna make any money for him. So ideally you wanna try and go viral for the right things that are attributing to your business or at least your personal brand. So if you're going viral because of this story that you used to have imposter syndrome and you couldn't speak and you had like a stutter or whatever, and then you say, oh, then I like overcame it, you'll probably most likely get invites to podcasts, to speaking events and everything. And that is, again, related to what you want, which may be fame. Again, you want to speak on stages, etc. So again, virality is great if you are going viral for the right reason.
Okay, so then my follow-up question is, if I gave you my phone this afternoon and I said, right, you've got free rein, you've got to do a post that goes viral, where does your brain automatically go to?
So it goes to the main topics that go viral on LinkedIn. So productivity, mindset, LinkedIn leadership, AI, remote work, something to do with, you know, all these like laws about employing people on work, posting CVs, employment. I was doing so well. But there's like about 10 in total that mm-hmm. I can pinpoint. So I would either do a remote work post for you, a mindset hack, or something that is related to a transformation that you had. Those three topics for me always are winners, or career advice. Why do these work on LinkedIn specifically? Because again, we go back to the architecture of why LinkedIn is what it is. A job seeking platform for people to actually grow their careers and get better opportunities, land better jobs, all of these things. So we use that psychology of like why LinkedIn started to then implement into content to go viral, because you need to comply to the rules to which the culture is based on. It's too many, like people will come onto LinkedIn from other platforms like TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, and they'll complain that they see the same content on and on and on and on and on again. And the reality is LinkedIn was never meant to be the social platform that it's exploiting right now. It was meant to be a job seeking platform. And therefore you need to like kind of like stick to the culture of what people are used to seeing. Because if you're creating content about like the creator economy is changing and all of these things, like a person in their 60s doesn't give a shit about like the Gen Z Duolingo, you know, timeline of this. Yes, it might go viral, but then again, it's just like you're just repeating information that you saw someone else. But if you start talking about like a career hack that helped you, then someone most likely will be interested because they've been there, so they can relate. They want to be there, so they want to they're inspired by you, or they are going through it, so they want to learn from someone and trust someone, and they can feel like they're not alone. And again, it goes back to that like hierarchy of needs by Maslow, where people want to have like those needs met of like belonging, and I belong here, people are listening to me, there's a community for me here. Now, how can I create content that kind of like serves that purpose for people every single time? You kind of like have to tap into the psychology of everything that you do. Every single LinkedIn post, regardless of how stupid the hook is, it's tapping into basic psychology of why people need to be seen. People want the top 10 TED Talks because they want to learn how to be better people. Why do they want to be better? Because they want to get more opportunities in life. Why do they want to get more opportunities in life? Because they want to be seen. They want to be respected. They want to get better jobs. Like, someone isn't watching TED Talks because they just like the TED Talk and they want to be improving themselves. No, they want to improve themselves to be better at their job, get more money. It stems down to like health, wealth, and relationships. And so a viral piece of content, let's say a remote work piece, you're talking about remote work because you have remote work and it benefits you and it's a dream life that most people in careers, they want to have or they want to optimize for, so they can leverage that remote work to then build a side hustle to spend more time with their family, and then you narrate that through your story.
Nice. Is there truth to, so we've talked about the posting, is there truth to you've got to do 10 comments a day, you've got to like X amount of posts on top of that, or is that all?
Yeah, absolutely. When I started posting on LinkedIn, I literally was commenting about 6 to 8 hours a day. I'm not joking. I was also nuanced. I was unemployed. I was at university. I was doing a very easy degree, digital marketing. So I had a lot of time, and that time bought me like influence and authority. So when I speak about it, it's like, yes, but I had no money to, I couldn't pay with money. So I paid with time. You know, there's two ways of doing things. You pay with your money and then you get ahead by, you know, hiring a coach, or like, you know, you already build your business. So you're like using that as leverage, but I didn't have that. So I had to use what I had, which was a lot of time, to then build myself up and make as many connections as possible. Like I started on LinkedIn with zero connections, zero posts, zero followers, no experience really, and no industry connections. So I had to leverage the only thing, which was time again, and creating the best type of content that I could then lead to having someone that was my ideal connection to then reach out to me because they liked my content. It was a leverage game, you know? So that's, yes, commenting is essential if you don't have a way in, right? You know, I had to find the third door in, and that to me was, you know, trying to make myself seem interesting until I became interesting.
Interesting. Okay. Where do you see, me and Jack were talking the other day about how, have you noticed how content's not really doing what's dead? Where do you see the change in the next year, 2 years? What should people be thinking about?
So they need to be thinking about giving actual value that provides specific niche information. Right now, LinkedIn is slightly changing where they want to become a social media platform that like brings in more creators and like brings in more people, but they want to have still that base of, there's like, you know, all the high performing entrepreneurs and like the wealthiest people use LinkedIn more than anything else, right? So they need to comply to, we need to keep these people happy and consuming content that's not just like a wishy-washy viral post that went viral on like TikTok about like football and like Ronaldo doing like a kick or something. They want to have content that's industry-led and expert-led. So the way, again, back to that AI agent post that I was mentioning, that's the type of content that LinkedIn wants to see. They want to make sure that every single expert is on the platform giving their top high value expertise. And that only comes with like very niche knowledge, but using a very broad hook. So this is why ChatGPT will change your life. You can start using AI agents today. Here's how you use them. So you go very broad. I call it broad, narrow niche. You go very broad with the hook. So you kind of like try and get as much attention as possible from someone that doesn't even know about this topic, because you need to make them problem and product aware. Then you go a little bit niche, broad, narrow on the second and third lines, where you kind of like then, hey, so we've got this thing that will solve this like bigger problem. It is this niche AI problem, which is something that you may not know of, but I think it could change your life. And then this is exactly how you can use it today, right? And then you go from problem to introduction to then layout of how they can implement it right now. The best type of content is applicable now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, now. Like right now, my aim with content is like, I try and structure every framework, every system, every whatever I do for small and achievable actions that someone can take today to then apply tomorrow and then come back to me and be like, it worked. That's the idea, Like, content shouldn't be this overcomplicated, you know, thesis of, yeah, you start doing this today and then in 6 months' time you'll see this. No, if you start doing this small action, like improving your hook, then you'll see I'd increase engagement tomorrow.
I like that. It's about giving the quick wins. So me and Zach, we're a couple of blokes in our 30s. We scroll through LinkedIn and I sometimes go, don't know what that is. I don't know what that means. You'll probably be very familiar with the phrase, so I'm hoping that you can maybe talk us through it and give us your take. Engagement pods.
Yes.
What are they? What do you think?
I get accused of being on them all the time. Like yesterday, I'm running ads right now for like my programs and they're like, oh yeah, it's so easy for her because she's on an engagement pod. I never once have been in an engagement pod. Again, I was spending 8 hours on the platform a day. Like that was my own little engagement pod for myself. I couldn't, and the problem for me was I wanted to be in these engagement pods, but I wasn't cool enough to be invited. So then I got invited and I was like, fuck you, I don't need you. But engagement pods are essentially groups, WhatsApp groups of people where there's a lot of people that have either a similar audience or like a similar growth rate. And then you go into this engagement pods and then you'll send the links back and forth so that you can like the post within the first hour. This is a very good LinkedIn hack, not the engagement pod, but the fact that if you get as many people liking and commenting on your post within the first hour, your post is more likely to do well. Why? Because LinkedIn has an algorithm, right? So then it's curating its feed to what people are engaging with. So the basis of an engagement bot is based on this information on the algorithm where your content will get pushed to your first connections first, right? And then if those first connections engage, then they'll get pushed to your second and third connections. So LinkedIn is based on like this hierarchy of first, second, and third, right? First connections, you're connected, you know them. Second connections, you know something, someone that knows them. Third connections, they're like very, very far away. So when you reach the third connection base, your post is probably going viral because you're reaching outside of your network. So if you're getting many people liking it from your first connections first in the first hour, then it indicates to LinkedIn that this is a good piece of content that is relevant. So relevancy is important. It's not the virality or anything, it's the relevancy. So then the relevancy then connects you to the second and third connections and then they like it more. And so people go on engagement pods to try and increase their chances of getting this quick win first. But I did it through literally adding every single person I could and connecting with them and having them have this like reciprocity with me. I used Robert Cialdini's influence principle, reciprocity principle, to then go comment on other people's content for an hour before I posted. So then they would be aware of me. And then perhaps if they liked my comment, they will come to my content and they'll like it within the first hour.
I like that. Strong answer. You defended well. It was good. So in terms of, obviously, you're fully inbound. There will be people watching that are outbound and they're going, yeah, I can do the content. I can take these tips that are actionable. And I can start, but I need some quick wins. I've got the boss on my back or I've got business and I need some leads. From an outbound, is it anything that, do you ever give advice on it? Do you not touch it? What would you say?
Yeah, I'm very lucky that I was coached by my mentor is called Richard Moore. Do you know him?
Think so.
Yeah, so he's a king in sales and he taught me a lot of his tricks, and one of them is literally go and post something that is highly relevant to the audience that you want to go to. So for me it would be like how to build a personal brand in 60 days. Here's exactly why entrepreneurs need, and I will kind of like showcase the value, and so people will like it. Like whether it's 10, 20, 30, like that's enough for someone to get a lead, right? So then I would go to that post and I will see who's engaging, then I'll like pinpoint it out, like I'll like click the link or whatever, then I'll have that. And then I also look at who's viewing my profile, because LinkedIn has a problem that everybody's a lurker. No, your ideal clients aren't liking your content. They're probably just observing it and they're probably observing you. So what you do then is you go to profile views on LinkedIn. I think you need to pay for LinkedIn Premium now, but whatever, I'll pay for that. It's worth it. And then you go to see who's viewing your profile. And then from that, you get two different data points. Okay, am I getting the right audience like looking at me? And then the right audience is looking at me. How can I approach them? Then you can click on their profile and then be like, hey, I saw you maybe like this post. Here's like a free thing. You have to offer them value at double, triple. Because right now, LinkedIn is so used to pitch slaps, right? So then you need to, one, prove yourself that you're not an AI or a robot. And then second, that you have people's best interest at heart. So you can either start a soft conversation like, hey, how's it going? I saw you live in London. I live in London as well. I just went to this networking event. What are you doing? Whatever. Something like chill. You guys probably know better than me. But that's how I would do it. And it does work because you're like kind of like doing social selling rather than like pushy outbound selling that may not work. For me, that's been a good piece of leverage to know that I can look at my profile views, then I can identify who my ideal clients are, and then I can kind of like pivot towards more content like that. Because at some point, everybody would go through this. They'll be like, Lara, my profile views are all people from like all these other countries that I'm not looking to kind of like serve. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. First, you need to understand that this will always be a thing on LinkedIn if you're going quite broad, because realistically, there's a lot of people in India, Pakistan, Mexico, these places that you may not be able to serve, or like you don't want to like work with realistically because you're focusing on like the US, UK, whatever. But this is not a problem. It's just simply an indicator that you're reaching more people. Now you need to double down and refine your content. And then the second thing is, now you have all these clients that may fit your ICP, then how can you get more and how can you double down on that? So profile views are definitely the hack for me.
Nice. What do you think we've not asked that we should have?
I don't know. My head hurts.
Okay. Well, that's a good sign. If someone's watching this and they think, okay, I want to work with Lara, where do they start that process?
So they'll go and just Google Lara Costa, and then you can watch my long form YouTube videos. And if you like how I shout out people, then you can click on the links to Literally Academy, which is like my course on how to build a personal brand. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Otherwise, just consume my free content.
Beautiful. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For having me.